Faster Mai, hello and welcome to this episode of Agenda. I'm Ewan Gorn. A call for action takes place in Laxey at a meeting where the pros and cons of plans for a sewage treatment works right in the heart of the village were heard by residents. The future of Port St Mary's Bowling Green is up in the air, but the club received a strong show of support. And a cross local authority group is under threat on the eve of elections in spring. Laxey residents had a chance to outline their concerns about plans for a sewage treatment plant in the heart of the village at a public meeting last week. Around 100 people gathered at the pavilion in the Laxey Glen Gardens to find out more about Manx Utilities' proposal for a facility at the eastern side of the village harbour. It's to stop the pumping of raw sewage into Laxey Bay by treating the waste at the new plant, and it's estimated to cost several million pounds, though we don't know the exact figure. A new harbour bridge is included as part of these proposals to allow tankers access to what's known as the cairn site to remove any leftover sludge from the facility. While many residents are worried about the impact this will have, concerns include the effect on tourism, the flood risk, the tankers driving on Laxey's roads which go past homes and schools, and of course the smell. These people at the meeting last week told me they weren't pleased with the proposals.
We are the human side of it. Talk all the figures they want and all the strategies, but it's the human side. That's where the cost is going to be.
So where do you stand on the plans? You're against, I presume?
Definitely.
And is there any particular reason, or is it many reasons?
Many reasons.
My views are I don't want any of it, because every single lorry that comes down there is going to come right by my house for so many years.
So you're on Monarca Hill, yeah?
No, I'm right on the corner opposite the Shore Hotel by the new bridge. Every single lorry is going to come by my house every day.
Is the lorry your main concern, or are you worried about other things as well?
I'm worried about the tourist industry. I'm worried about the smell. Nobody wants it.
I think there's no doubt, if you were in there tonight, that exactly what the feeling is from the folk who live in Laxey. I mean, we live above Garwick Bay. It's really all about Laxey tonight, but obviously I think that Baldroyne and Garwick are going to be next. We'd favour the whole thing underground, linked up to Moodyveg.
It's not really acceptable, in my view, to have a sewage seep treatment centre in virtually in the middle of a village anyway. It would always be on the outskirts, well out of the way. I mean, I know that the outlet is there, but that's not reason to keep it, really.
It was a most worthwhile evening, and it raised a lot of questions that the planners had obviously not thought about. Especially, I think, the whole analysis of risk, and especially Monarca Hill.
Personally, having spent some time in Laxey as a tourist and being based in Cumbria, you know, with an expertise in wastewater, I felt that, having spoken to some of the locals, I was obliged to come here tonight and attend the meeting just to see what was said. I think when you look at the costs of the infrastructure that they're going to need to put in to do that particular construction project, I think that can be mitigated by pumping and moving either the identical works or, for me, more modernised works out with the village, so the residents aren't affected and nor are the tourists, and you keep that beauty that you've got now.
The Best for Laxey Bay opposition group wants Manx Utilities to pump Laxey sewage into the central facility at Moodyveg in Onchan. They've championed the phrase pump not dump and are keen to see Manx Utilities embrace this other option. They were represented on the panel at the meeting by Roger Tomlinson, who I spoke to afterwards.
I diagnose it as a public health issue because it's about people. It's not about buildings and machinery. It's about how people live in the village of Laxey, which is really unique. That way of life, if they put this sewage treatment works in the harbour, that way of life is going to be affected.
Now, cost is mentioned by Manx Utilities a lot. The cost of this, we don't know, but it's several million pounds. They won't reveal that due to commercial sensitivity. The cost of the other options, it's 2 million more, 8 million more. What do you think about the cost as a member of Best for Laxey Group? Is there a price at which it's too much to spend that amount of money on a solution?
Well, of course not, because with the solution that we are promoting, we're talking about an 80-year benefit to the village, with no hassle apart from the initial installation costs.
And that solution, just to clarify, is pumping to Iris, which is connecting it Onchan, yes?
Yes, we pump from Laxey We collect the excrement at Baldrine and then it goes on and connects with the Irish scheme at Onchan. That seems totally logical to me, and it seems a modern way of dealing with the problem that most Western communities have.
Now, it's £8 million extra, according to Manx Utilities, to do that. Do you not bat an eyelid at that? Do you not see money as a barrier here?
Well, of course, the money has got to be considered, but it's not our consideration. Our consideration and the consideration of the local GARF commissioners should be the population which they serve. And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to reflect the thoughts of the population. And I'm being quite surprised tonight with the support that we've had. So I'm really pleased about what the turnout and the comments of the audience here tonight.
You were at pains to stress how people need to engage with this plan. Can you just elaborate on why you put such an emphasis on how it is people can make their comments?
Yes, it's because what's on the table is a particular planning application. And I was showing the audience tonight what that planning application was.
You had props?
I had props, yeah. Visual aids, they're very, very, very useful. So it's really important that they go away from here tonight and they do make a submission to that particular planning application.
Roger Tomlinson of the Best Phylaxy Group. Manx Utilities insists this chosen site represents the best value for money as it utilises the existing infrastructure which is already in place and comes without the cost of pumping uphill, which they say is considerable. Well, during the meeting, community stalwart Stuart Clegg presented a petition with more than 400 signatures outlining opposition to Manx Utilities' plans. Mr. Clegg, of course, has been working as part of the Best Phylaxy opposition group to champion that pump-not-dump solution connecting the village's sewage to Iris. I spoke to him about the document.
It's a petition by the local people of Garwick and Laxey to find out whether they agree or disagree with having this sewage pit in the middle of Laxey. And we had absolutely no resistance. Everybody I spoke to, bar two or three, all said, yes, we do not want a sewage pit in the middle of Laxey. And when they were told that it can be very easily, with a 10-inch pipe, pumped away and put into a connection at Port Jack, then via Douglas Promenade, out to Marybeg, it's a no-brainer not to do it that way.
Was that the solution that was put forward in the petition?
No, we just left it open in the petition so, to people to come and listen to see what they thought about the whole thing. That's why the government were here tonight. They put their point of view and Roger put his point of view, and I know who won.
now, you were involved a little bit behind the scenes with this, with the Best Phylaxy and other groups talking about alternative options.
Yeah.
Are you still convinced that an alternate option can be the right solution and won't be too expensive? Because cost is a consideration for the government and for Manx Utilities.
Well, funny enough, after speaking to some of the government people after the meeting tonight, they're quite receptive to talk to us, and let's get together and let's get it sorted. And I'm all for that. Let's get together, get it sorted.
Do you think they might go back on their plans here?
I think they'll have to after what was said at tonight's meeting, don't you?
That was Stuart Clegg. Well, residents are encouraged to make sure they submit views on the sewage plant application to planning authorities before the March the 20th deadline. It's understood residents may be able to pass on comments as late as 24 hours before the planning committee is due to consider an application. Well, GARF commissioners, of course, are consulted as part of the planning process. Chairman Jamie Smith told me members will consider the bigger picture when it comes to Manx Utilities plans.
A lot of people were very concerned, and what I felt was there was a lot of people suggesting aspects that hadn't been taken into account and weren't in the environmental impact report. Other, perhaps in the UK, places with similar topography and with IRBCs and what the odour control was there, and just other people talking about could there be a pipeline out to sea, different routes for the pumping to Onchan. So there were some interesting things brought up by people about other aspects that they felt perhaps should have been considered.
Now, as commissioners, you're dealing with a planning application, so you've got to look at the immediate application, the material implications of that application, not necessarily the bigger picture stuff. But are you going to be thinking about the bigger picture stuff, like the other options?
Yes, I think, although strictly speaking we should only be looking at the planning application, the pieces of paper in front of us, I don't think we're going to get ourselves in any hot water if we look at the bigger picture and we look at all the comments that I'm sure we're going to receive and indeed the comments we heard tonight.
Now, what's your job here as commissioners? Because obviously you're going to have your own individual views on the proposal, but you're also representing the community. So how do you work out a stance based on that?
It's a compromise between reflecting the public opinion that we believe from just walking the streets and from tonight and from emails received. And also we do have a lot of experience of looking at planning applications. So we can't close our minds to the fact we do have, you know, there's a team of nine effectively, and we have a lot of experience of planning applications. So we're allowed to use our common sense, if you like, that we've learned over the years in conjunction with what we're hearing from the public.
Do you fear, should this application be rejected by the public and the planning committee finds it unfavourable, or the Council of Ministers, whichever avenue it goes down, are you worried that Laxey will then be at the bottom of the list for future works and it won't have a resolution to its sewage problem?
No. This is more of a personal opinion. I think it's so important that we get the right solution that bottom of the list for something where the Council of Ministers have said they want clean water around the island, so we won't be that far behind. It might be a couple of years, possibly. It's still absolutely critical we get the correct solution.
The Chairman of Garth Commissioners, Jamie Smith. You're listening to Agenda on Manx Radio. Well, from one public meeting to another, around 200 people went to a gathering in Port St Mary last week to discuss the future of the village bowling club. It's understood the club is in dispute with the landowner after it was told the lease on the land by the village railway station where the green is will not be renewed. Well, members of the Lawn Bowls community from across the island attended the meeting to express their support for the club and its plight. The landowner does not wish to comment on the issue, though, and prejudice any legal proceedings between the two parties. Well, I went along to the meeting and these people told me they want the club to keep its home.
You can see the amount of support that the bowling club has got, and I just hope that it gets saved. Tragedy if it doesn't.
So I'm part of the development officer for the Isle of Man Cranbourne Bowling Association, and I'm here to support Port St Mary as a community. As I said tonight, it's such a shame to lose what is an asset to the island, and this for people, I know it's a big ask, but I think if we lose it you'll never get it back, so it just needs to be saved.
And in terms of bowling clubs across the island, how important is Port St Mary's presence?
It's massive, so they are probably the biggest membership of a club at this moment in time, and we probably have over 900 to 1,000 bowlers that are active at the moment on the Isle of Man, and I would say Port St Mary have over 100 of those. And it is such a well-being for mental health, as it was said, for ages of all ages, from young to old, and as I say, it's an asset to the island that once lost you will never get back.
I'm from Onchan Bowling Club. I've come along in support because I think this is part of the identity of Port St Mary, is its sporting prowess and its feistiness in sport and its competitive spirit and its individual spirit. It would be a shame to see them lose this element of that.
So when you come and play in Port St Mary, what's it like?
Great. It's great. I mean, it is at all the clubs all over the island. All the clubs have a friendly atmosphere. They invite friendly competition. But they're a good group here. It's a nice club to come to, and all the greens are unique on the island. They all have their unique character. Home advantage is everything, you know? And I hate this green. I can't win on it.
But you wanted to stay, yeah?
Yeah, of course I do. Of course I do. That's why I'm here.
I thought it was tremendous support for the Port St Mary Club. It shows the regard that the Isle of Man bowlers have for them. It's a great club. It would be a shame if this happened. It really would. And I'm sure if they all pull together, the weight of the sport tonight, as you saw, was fantastic. As I said earlier in my speech, they've got members from 10 years to 92 years in age. And, you know, it's a sport for all ages. It's a community activity. It helps them with their fitness, their mental health, everything else. And it'd be such a shame if this had to close.
Well, I've been a member since 1968. I am the longest serving member present time, and I would hate to see Port St Mary disappear off the bowling scene altogether, as all these people here tonight, all the bowling clubs on the island, to give us support shows what esteem we're held in, and it'd be an awful shame for a loss of Port St Mary in general you encourage everybody to go along, being a private enterprise type of thing, you know, self-sufficient. They depend on people coming to buy refreshments, things like that, you know, for coffers, to improve the green, and which has taken place. It's one of the best greens on the island.
What's it mean to you personally, having been a member for so long?
I first started playing bowls at Castledown. I was only there a year before I moved into the Station Hotel in Port St Mary in 1967. And I've been a member since 68, and it means an awful lot to me. I'm so passionate about the club. I never thought of going to anywhere else to play. I just want to see it survive, the future generations.
A lot of the history of the club, it's been there since 1921, so I think to lose it would be an absolute tragedy. You know, people feel of it as a family. You know, I've been playing bowls 27 years now myself. My dad plays, my son plays. He started down there at the age of two. He's now 11, he's still playing the game. And, you know, it's all about having an opportunity for kids to be able to play bowls. It's somewhere to go in Port St Mary, because you look around Port St Mary, there's a 9-hole golf course and not a lot else of them on this. So I think Bowling Club is an asset to the community. It brings over 1,200 people down every year, not to mention people from the club. So you're talking over 2,000 people coming to Port St Mary that maybe might not have done otherwise.
And people were talking tonight about the sport itself, the social benefits of the club.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's mental health benefits as well. You know, people can lose a spouse, they can have an illness, or, you know, mental health issues, anything like that. And it's a really good way to integrate back into society.
Russian MHK Dewan Watterson was at the meeting. He and his fellow constituency MHK Lawrence Skelly have been trying to help the club find a resolution. I spoke to him.
We were contacted by the club when the news first broke that there's a potential for the club to cease existing. And so I looked at the Acquisition of Land Act, the compulsory purchase powers that local authorities had, and the government valuer, and asked for a valuation on the bowling club based on its current use. That was given to me at about £80,000. So that would be if the compulsory purchase value, if it was compulsorily purchased by the commissioner. So I then approached the commissioners to see if there was an appetite to do that. I think this meeting has been a part of the commissioners' consultation process. And from what I've heard tonight, there's a really strong view that I think the people of Port St Mary, certainly the bowling fraternity is behind it, but I think the people of Port St Mary will be as well. This is another asset to the village. We've heard a lot about the health benefits to it tonight. But yeah, hopefully this will spur the commissioners on to make a decision to buy the asset for the benefit of the village.
Do you think it's important to consider the entire village? Because obviously there's been a massive turnout from all over the island here. About a quarter of the room was actually Port St Mary ratepayers. And obviously Port St Mary commissioners are not flush with cash. So do you think it's important to consider the whole village?
It's important to consider the wider issues. I think it was also important to hear the point that the bowling club itself is a self-sufficient entity. So there wouldn't be an ongoing call on ratepayers' land. So commissioners would be buying the land and it would own the land, so it would be buying something, an asset, and keeping an asset. The bowling club would be tenants on that, in the same way that they have been tenants on land for the last 100 years almost. So I think there is a real benefit to the commissioners in doing this. There's a real benefit to the club if the commissioners can get on board. There's a real benefit to the community if the whole scheme comes off. So there could be a really long-term rosy prospect for Port St Mary Bowling Club in the whole adventure.
Russian MHK Dewan Watterson. The event was arranged by commissioners in Port St Mary who wished to gauge public opinion on this issue. Chair Michelle Haywood told me the local authority may be able to help the bowling club.
We've investigated some of the options. We've looked into what our legal powers are. We could look for land around that maybe we could offer to the club instead. So that's one option that we're looking at the moment, is whether there's anything, we have anything that's suitable. We have the legal power to do compulsory purchase, but that obviously comes with associated legal costs, and it's not a nice route to go down if you happen to be the landholder. So we know where we sit legally, but we needed to gauge opinion really to see where we go with our decisions.
Is the message clear?
I think the message is clear from everyone who's here tonight. I think obviously the Isle of Man bowling community turned out en masse, and you can see how much it means to people. One of the things that you can't put a valuation on, even if you send the land valuer out, is the social capital that's around something like this and the value that people place on it. And I suppose in some ways it's almost like discussing closing down post offices, isn't it? It's that social bit that you can't really quantify in an accountancy term, but it obviously is of huge value to people. I'm not sure that we've got necessarily a sense that it's the Port St Mary ratepayers just want us to commit funds and time to this.
Well, I was going to ask you that. It's £80,000 and Port to Mary Commissioners isn't awash with extra finances. Mm-hmm. How big of a decision is it, considering it's not an insubstantial sum?
Any decision we make is going to have to take into account the legal framework, the financial framework that we can work in, and we only have a limited sort of room for manoeuvre on that. We do know that we have options, but I think at the moment it'll be for the board to sit down next week and balance those out. And obviously that's what you elect a board for, is to sit down and take those decisions, and that's what they'll have to do.
Now, this is obviously wrapped up in what happens between the various parties, but when can ratepayers, the bowling club, when can we expect some kind of resolution or an update on what's going on?
I think we'll try and update as soon as we can. We're meeting next Wednesday evening. I've got an emergency general meeting to discuss it. Depending on the outcome of that meeting and whether we need to take further professional advice, will then be at what point we can put out a statement. We don't want to put out anything that we later have to retract or revise or anything like that. But if we can get something out that's sensible, cohesive and justified, then as soon as we can do that, we will.
That was the chair of Port St Mary Commissioners, Michelle Hayward. Finally, on agenda, the future of the Isle of Man Municipal Association is under threat due to the falling number of local authorities. Now, you may not have heard of this group, but it's a forum where commissioners and councillors meet every month to discuss common issues, exchange ideas, and occasionally quiz government ministers. Each authority sends a handful of members to the association and pays fees of around £200 a year to cover its costs. Well, after the mergers of Laxey, Lonnon and Mackled into Garth, and soon Rushen and Arbury into a new authority, the group's income has suffered as the membership has fallen and its financial future is now at risk without a substantial hike in fees. Well, Chair Vivian Quain, who's a Lozere commissioner, explained the association's predicament to me.
Because we're losing through the joining up of local authorities like Garth, we've lost two memberships. And now that Rushen and Arbury are joined together, we're losing another membership. And over the years, they lost Onken and Onken Village. We still have Onken. Kirkmichael, there used to be two there, Kirkmichael and Kirkmichael Village. That's only one now. The membership is the only income we have. The only thing we really pay is an honorarium to the secretary and one to the treasurer. That is all we pay out.
So local authority reform is actually hurting the Municipal Association?
It is, in a sense.
What can you do to reverse that? It seems to be the trend at the moment, so there'll probably be more mergers down the line.
There could be, but in that case, we'd have to... Well, the fee will go up. That's what it really amounts to. And we don't want to put it up too much because we don't want to discourage people from being a part of it. And all I can really say is, if anybody that's not a part of it wants to come as an observer to our meetings, they are very, very welcome. They'll meet people they don't normally meet. You hear things that perhaps you read in the paper but don't understand exactly what's going on. You know, you hear them from over the hill and everywhere else. So, yes, it's very interesting.
And are you appealing to those remaining boards to come and get involved? Because there's an election soon, so there might be new membership and they might have new ideas. Do you think that could be a potential way of keeping the association afloat?
Well, that's what we are hoping, because the election is in April and there'll be a new board, and it would be lovely if some of those members, or we could get them all to come together for one evening and let them see what goes on, and then they might be interested to see that it's not just a talking shop, that there's more to it than that. I'm appealing to anybody that's going to be a new member, please get in touch and let us tell you what goes on.
Do you think with that in mind, the association would be well placed to be sort of guides for new members, like offering training?
Yes, and of course, you also want to remember, it's the contact with the government. They are now accepting the municipal association as a part of getting the talk out to the local authorities. Like the other night, we were asked, would we like to put a member forward for the Biosphere Committee? But this is the thing, they are now sending us documents and keeping us in touch with everything that's going on.
The chair of the Isle of Man Municipal Association, Vivian Quain. Well, that's all from this programme. We'll be back with more from Agenda soon. And you can, of course, listen again to this episode via Spotify or through the Manx Radio website. But for now, Gurumayu and goodbye.